Wonderful. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Thank you very much. It's a blessing to be here with you at Redemption Baptist Church. And thankful for the opportunity today. Again, my name is Brian Thiessen. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I grew up in British Columbia. I was saved at the age of 15 under the ministry of an evangelist by the name of B.R. Lakin. Preached from Acts chapter 16 the night I got saved. Story of the Philippian jailer and how he cried out to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Of course, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that man was gloriously saved. The night I got saved, honestly, the conviction of God's Holy Spirit was so strong in my heart. I felt like, and I don't know this to be true, but I felt as if I would never again have an opportunity to be saved if I did not get saved that night. That was as a 15-year-old boy back in 1977. So I'm thankful for the Lord's salvation, and subsequently God called me to preach. I've started churches, planted churches in British Columbia and Ontario, pastored for over 32 years. And since approximately a year ago, we have moved on, and I'm now serving as the Canadian Field Administrator for Baptist Missions to Forgotten People, as well as the Canadian Representative for Baptist Church Planting Ministry. Essentially, what those ministries are is a facilitator for the local church. The Mission Board helps to facilitate local churches who are sending their missionaries, whether it's, you know, to plant churches here in Canada or around the world. And we come alongside the local church. We place ourselves under the authority of the local church. And same with the Baptist Church Planting Ministry. We're really helping local churches to reproduce themselves, because mission boards and assisting agencies outside the local church do not reproduce churches. Churches reproduce churches. And so that's a little bit of what those ministries are about. Now, people ask me, so you're all about Canada. Your ministries are Canada. I say yes and no, because Canada really obviously is very near and dear to my heart, but it can never be Canada as an end to itself. Our ministry is the world through Canada. I believe we can have a great impact around the world. And so if you've not already received one of our prayer cards, they're available on the table at the back, or I will personally come to you and make sure that you receive one of our prayer cards. That way you can pray for us in these coming days. I've also got a brochure on the table at the back that tells you a little bit about our mission board here in Canada. Now, I'm going to show you about a 6-minute video here that explains a little bit more of our burden and our ministry focus. It can seem like I'm, you know, wearing several hats: the mission agency, the church planting ministry, and really there's one overarching purpose that I've embraced for our ministry, and it's to help encourage, establish, equip another generation of vocational Christian labor. So missionaries, pastors, church planters. That's what I'm all about, because the reality is none of us are here forever. And our children and our grandchildren are going to grow up in worlds where, you know, if there's not churches like Redemption Baptist Church, if there's not good, sound, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, honestly, that's a bad situation for people to be in. And so, you know, we desperately, desperately need laborers. In Matthew 9, Jesus said, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field." That's what we need to see. So that's what we're all about. I apologize a little bit for the video, because just because of the fact, I know you're all Canadian, and so a little bit of this is designed for maybe a U.S. audience who is less familiar with Canada. And also, the representation of Canada from coast to coast is will be a little different from region to region. It'd be different from what maybe you're familiar with. But, you know, we have a sprawling country, second largest in the world as far as
geography is concerned.
37 million people spread out mostly like toothpaste within 100 miles of the U.S. border. And then we have people further north, and it gets remote and it gets sparse. I tell people Canada is a land of empty places, lonely spaces, and a world of faces, because, you know, the world is immigrating here to Canada, and it's no longer, you know, more of the European descent Canadians. I was in Rosetown on my way through yesterday, stopped at Tim Hortons, and I got served by a young Filipino man. And I see that, you know, the world's even coming to Saskatchewan. Really, really it is. And so what an opportunity. So I trust you'll be blessed by the video presentation. It'll speak to your heart. And if nothing else, at least educate you as to what our heartbeat is, and you'll be better informed to be able to pray for us. And that's what we covet more than anything else. All right? Okay, how do we go full screen here?
understand to plant a church in these great cities is a daunting task. It's expensive to live in those cities. There's many obstacles, many hindrances to doing so, but at the same time, what a tremendous opportunity. The great metropolitan areas are really the multicultural gathering points of our nation. And from cities such as Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, and others, we have an opportunity to not only impact a city for Christ, but to reach our world. Our desire is to be part of the solution. No one man or one family or one individual. Partnership, working, praying, giving, and laboring together, God can do some amazing things. Together, we can make a greater difference than ever before. And from one end of this great country, from the Pacific to the Atlantic Oceans, let's ask God to do a great work.
That gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're doing, and encourage you to pray for us. As I said before, people will ask me from time to time, how should we pray for you, Brother Thiessen? Really, there's just several simple ways that you can pray for us. One, currently pray that we're able to raise up the support that we need financially. Obviously, we can't continue to do what we're doing without the needed support, so that's one thing. Another, obviously, is safety as we travel. We're traveling many, many kilometers, both air travel and by car. And in the past, really, six or seven months that we've going after this real hard. I've been as far south as Miami, Florida. I've been to Prince Albert. I've been to St. John's, Newfoundland, Vancouver, British Columbia, just about but not quite every province across Canada. And so a lot of miles traveled, and you see some crazy things along the road as you travel. And so we don't take for granted, the Lord's protection. For my wife and I, and for our family as we do travel. And then lastly, just really pray that the message that we bring will resonate with Canadian churches and pastors and people, that, if nothing else, a seed will be planted, that they'll understand. You know, we don't need just one or two. We need an army of laborers. And so, you might ask, well, how's that going so far? You know, it's hard to gauge. We're planting seed. That's what I really feel like we're doing right now. And if God would allow, He doesn't return in the meantime, and He blesses me with good health, I'd like to give 20 years to this ministry. And so just travel, encourage pastors, encourage church families, and just continue to proclaim that message that we need laborers in the field. And so one of the verses, and I'll just share this with you before we get into the message this morning, but Acts 11:23, you'll see that verse on our prayer card. This is really one of the verses that really spoke to my heart and gave me somewhat of a basis to model our ministry after. And it speaks of Barnabas. You know who Barnabas was, right? Son of consolation. He was known as a great encourager. He was one of those guys. I mean, if he came into your church, you'd be glad he was there. He just made people feel encouraged and hopeful in the things of God. And it says that when he came to Antioch and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And do you ever feel like that? You just need someone to come along and say, you know what? You're doing a good job. Keep moving forward. I want to encourage you to cleave to the Lord. And your labor's not in vain. That kind of a man. And that's what I want to be. I want to encourage others to be, really have that spirit and that heart of a Barnabas. And, you know, among the many things I learned from the life of Barnabas, I learned that really every pastor, every missionary needs a Barnabas in their life. And, you know, I know, Pastor Holloway, you're here in Kindersley. It's a small place, a little bit isolated. You got a long ways to go for fellowship. If I can, let me pray for you and pray that God will raise up a Barnabas. You know, to come and work alongside of you and encourage you in the good work that you're doing here. That's what I want to do. And so Barnabas was that way. And another lesson I learned from Barnabas is that it really is okay to serve in the shadows. You know, that first missionary team that was sent out from Antioch is Paul and Barnabas. Almost always it's Paul and Barnabas. And I remind folks that it was Barnabas actually that found Paul in the first place. He was the first one to stand up for the man who was formerly Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church. The church was running scared of this guy. Now he's saved. They were not too ready to embrace his newfound faith, to embrace the fact that he was saved. But Barnabas stood with them. And, you know, how God mightily used that team. So here Barnabas was not the headliner. But you know what? He was okay with that. And I find, you know, in Christian ministry, we need to be encouraged that it's not only people who take all the headlines that God uses. God uses people in faraway, empty places, and spaces and lonely places. And God uses those people that aren't on center stage every bit as much as He uses the headliner. So I want to encourage you here about those things. Now, I promised a missions message this morning, so I want you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verses 10 and 11 really is the text that we're going to be considering today for a few simple thoughts on missions. But I want to read a little bit of context. They say a text without a context is a pretext, and I believe that. I think every verse of Scripture, it fits into a specific place in the Bible for a reason. And so we need to get a little bit of surrounding context to help us understand what's being taught. So 1 Peter chapter 4 then, verse 1 through 12 is where we'll read. The Bible says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Now, those first few verses, what's that talking about? That's talking about what we were before Christ, and how that we've been, you know, we've been saved now, and the rest of our life we should not be living in that old way, but we can be living a new life in Christ. And it's really a wonderful thing for us as believers to recognize. But then verse 4 says, "Wherein they," that's the world, "thinks it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." Okay, the Bible says, you know, the world is messed up just like we once were. And, you know, it's an awful thing, because if they don't repent and trust Christ as Savior, they are going to stand before God as their judge. Okay, read a little more about that in the book of Revelation, the Great White Throne Judgment. But notice verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And so, you know, I just want you to see the gospel in this context of the passage we're reading. Okay? Because that's going to help us understand when we get down to verse 10 and 11 here. So the gospel was preached, just like it was to us. It needs to be preached to the world. The gospel is just a wonderful blessing wherever that it's preached. Whether it's in the heart of Toronto, Ontario, in our nation's capital in Ottawa, St. John's, Newfoundland, or right here in Kindersley, Saskatchewan. God has ordained that the gospel be preached to every creature. Okay? Now, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then notice what verse 10 says. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we'll stop right there. I want to take really that phrase in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. And my title is this, Missions is a Gift. Missions is a gift. I'm going to talk about the preciousness of this gospel message. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our text. And just a brief encouragement for us regarding this morning. Lord, we're thankful to be here today. Thank you for this community, Lord, and the surrounding area. And Lord, we know that it's a hard-working community, and we know that these are people who know how to labor with their hands, they know how to work, and Lord, yet it's a needy area. I thank you for Pastor Holloway and his commitment and his faithfulness and his desire to reach this community. I thank you for this church. And Lord, I'm so glad that they're here. And Lord, they've been blessed with a building and blessed with different opportunities. And I pray that you would reward their labor, Lord, even through the foundation of the RU ministry, through their work in the community. And Lord, that the gospel would continue to go forth from this pulpit. And Lord, touch lives. I pray that you bless your word to our hearts and lives now this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So missions is a gift. I hope you believe that today. I hope you understand that. That when we talk about missions, really we're talking about the greatest gift that can be given. You know, maybe you received a special gift at one time. Maybe there's something that stands out in your memories of the past. Perhaps it was at Christmas. Maybe when you celebrated a significant milestone in your life. Maybe it's a special gift because of the person that initiated the giving. You know, I think back to my childhood and some of my Christmases. I remember receiving a set of Hot Wheels and how that was, I mean, for me, that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I remember another occasion that my siblings and I, we received a ping pong table for Christmas. Now, the great thing about it was, and I grew up on a farm, my parents thought it would be a great idea to buy this ping pong table for us. And, you know, I guess it went on sale early in the year, and so they figured they'd hide it in one of the barns, okay, until Christmas time. And then they'd trot that out at Christmas time. Well, guess what? We discovered it. I think it was about August or September. And we're like, ah, a ping pong table. I bet you that's for Christmas. And they're all like, yeah, yeah. So we agreed amongst ourselves. Let's not say anything to mom and dad. You know, when we get it at Christmas, we'll all act surprised. And we did. And in fact, I know this is a terrible thing to confess, But we never told our parents about that till years later. We were all adults. And we said, you remember that ping pong table? Yeah, we knew about it all along. You're kidding me, they said. So maybe you remember gifts like that. They stand out in your memory. You know, it could be just the person or the sentiment behind the gift. I remember when I had first met my wife-to-be, Cindy, and we were in Bible college together. And I remember I'd come back from my extension work. I'd go out on weekends and labor in different churches, you know, do whatever they asked you to do. And come back late Sunday night before classes would begin the next day. And we had a little, like, on-campus UPS, I call it, like a mail system, a deliver between the men's dorms and the women's dorms. And so they would deliver packages and notes and stuff. And I come back Sunday night and I remember getting in a little Tupperware container some home-baked cookies that Cindy had made when she was home on the weekend. You know, and I can't even remember what they were, if they were chocolate chip or oatmeal raisin or whatever. But, you know, there'd be a nice little handwritten note inside with them. And I just remember thinking, these are the most delicious cookies I've ever had. These are amazing. Why? Because of who sent them to me. And so that gift was precious. We all love to receive gifts, don't we? So what's the greatest gift? Well, it's the gospel. And it comes from the greatest giver, who is God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that gospel, that greatest gift from the greatest giver, is what missions is all about. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Is given. We all know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. In Romans 6:23, a verse we often use in communicating the gospel, we say how the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. All right? And Paul said, really, what best summarizes it all in 2 Corinthians 9:15, in a few words, he said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And so, just understand, missions could not happen without that gift and without the greatest giver in God. And so how should we look at that? Well, we ought to start by remembering that missions, first of all, was a gift to us. It's a gift to you. It was a gift to me. If you're saved this morning, you know, you're included in that group in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. You're one of those individuals, man or woman, boy or girl, that has received the gift. And without missions, we would not be saved. You know, Paul was the first missionary. Talk about that, going out with Barnabas. And yet, really, for the most part, the Gentile world, the gospel has come to us, you know, down through the ages, down through the centuries, as a result, primarily, of the first century missionary work of the Apostle Paul. And that's how it went into Europe. And that's how it came to us. And so, you know, missions is a gift to us. Jesus Christ came with that purpose in His heart. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and verse 10. We're to take that gift, that message, and preach it to every creature. Thank the Lord now, you and I were one of those creatures. So, missions is a gift to you. And we could ask, well, what did we receive when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior? Well, that gift speaks of God's grace toward us. It speaks of the fact we received the Holy Spirit of God. It speaks of the fact that at the moment of salvation, you were indwelt permanently by that Holy Spirit and enabled with a supernatural enablement for ministry. That is primarily comprised of two overarching categories of gifts that you read about in verse 11 here. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, and if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So there are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts primarily. Those are the two. Now you can do a deeper dive. You can go to Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and flesh out all those spiritual gifts, and that's a recommended study. I believe every believer ought to do that. But we can understand, you know, God gave us something to serve Him. Alicia, during Sunday school, I sat right up here in the front row and I heard that wonderful singing voice. And I thought, my goodness, that girl has a gift. You have a gift. You know, for me, that's not the gift God gave me. I like making the joyful noise. All right, God's given different ones of us abilities, resources, gifts, whether it's to speak, to serve in some capacity. Some, it can be just a heart of compassion, you know, that tenderheartedness, showing mercy to those that are in need, people that are their caregivers in that way. But God's given us something, even at the moment of our salvation. And we need to ask, well, how did we receive it? Because the Bible says, as we've received the gift, so we're to minister to others. Okay? Obviously, I'm going somewhere with this. So maybe just think back, you know, how was it that the gift of the gospel, how was it that that came to you? I can think in my own life of people God used to bring me to Christ as a young man. You know, first of all, I thank God I had a church-going family. Even though my dad didn't get saved until after I did. But we always went to church. I had a praying mother. You know, I think of over the years, faithful pastors and Sunday school teachers that I had. The evangelist who was in his 80s when he preached that night I got saved. Thank God those people were faithful. And I think about the characteristics or qualities of those that God used in my life. And I think of how that they were servants. You know? A servant puts the need of others before their own. Many times a missionary makes deep sacrifices so that others can hear the gospel, right? You know, the first time I ever heard the gospel, you know where it was? It was a VBS, Vacation Bible School. And it was a little Baptist church on Busby Street in Abbotsford, British Columbia. Now, I don't remember the names of the workers or the teachers that week of VBS, but I'm telling you what, they put on a great program. I mean, I remember they had all kinds of activities for us. During break times, we'd be out there, and they provided hockey nets and sticks, and we're out playing ball hockey, and they had all kinds of games, and they had prizes, and boy, they had Kool-Aid and cookies for refreshment, and we had some great Bible lessons, and we had film strips. Remember the film strips? And they have a little cassette recording, or sometimes even back in the days, an 8-track or a long play record. And so it would play a little bit of script and music, play the story. And then there'd be this annoying beep. Beep! That meant whoever was running the projector had to advance to the next slide. And so we'd do that all the way through. And that's how I first, you know, heard some of the gospel story. And they had the wordless book. And those kind of things. So the memory of all that motivates me. Why? Because someone had to invest a great deal of time to serve the boys and girls who came to that VBS in order that they could hear the gospel. And when I think of that, I should say, you know what? I ask myself, what am I willing to do that other boys and girls, men and women, can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? They were also stewards, if I think about it. You know, it says here in verse 10, that we're to minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The fact is, you've been entrusted with something in the gospel, now you're a steward of that. Just like you are of your money and your time and anything else God's blessed you with. You're an administrator. You are the manager, in a sense, of those things that really don't belong to you in the first place, but God's entrusted you with that. And so, 1 Corinthians 4, says that we're stewards of the mysteries of God, and moreover, it's required. There's one requirement for a steward. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, and what is it? That a man be found faithful. Faithful. And so I think back to those who brought me the gospel, and so I'm so glad today that they were faithful. Now, I need to be faithful too. So, we can ask, what purpose did we receive that gift? Well, the last two points of our message are going to flesh that out. All right? And it begins with this thought, which is our second major point. Missions is not only a gift to you and to me. Missions is a gift to others. So we're to minister to one another. We need to pass the gift along, is what I'm saying today. And we need to do that certainly in the context of our families, certainly in the context of, you know, those who are our loved ones, people we know, people we rub shoulders with, people we come in contact with. But it's also true that we need to go to strangers. We need to go beyond ourselves. Sometimes we've got to leave our comfort zone and we've got to take this wonderful gift to others. You know, if Bill Gates called you up and said, look, I got $1 million gift for you. You just have to meet me at a certain place and time, and I got $1 million check for you. You'd be there. But then as Bill Gates, who's worth about $100 billion, sat down with you, he said, now, I want you to take a message out there for me. And you can tell people if they meet certain prerequisites, and he explained what those are. You can tell them that they can arrange to meet with me and also have $1 million check for them. How long would it take for you to communicate that message with someone else who could benefit from it? Probably not too long at all. I mean, you'd be racking your brain. You're thinking, okay, family members and then friends and, you know, who can get in on this? And yet we have something infinitely more precious than this world's goods. We have the gospel. And yet sometimes we're silent about it. We need to communicate the gospel. How do we do that? There's only two ways I know of. That's by speaking and by serving. The two overarching categories of our spiritual gifting. It's all about communicating the gospel. So we need to speak to others. If any man speak, that's to say, to proclaim, to utter sounds. What I'm saying is we need to verbalize what that gift is. We need to be able to articulate it. Now that can be done, you know, speaking to crowds. The preacher does that, you know, small groups, and sometimes the hundreds and thousands. And praise God for all those who have that opportunity. But more often than not, and more importantly than anything else, is that we speak it one on one, and not be ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be carrying tracts. We ought to look for opportunities many times to share that gospel. I was in Tim Hortons there in Windsor not too long ago. I was waiting for an oil change. And, you know, a guy came in, sat, it was kind of a community table in that Tim Hortons. And boy, he was going through the newspaper and he was ranting about all these, you know, inequities and all these bad things happening in society. I think he pointed out where someone was injured or killed in a drunk driving incident and so forth. And, you know, I had a gospel tract in my pocket. And before I left, I mean, Spirit just kind of prompted me to go over. And I went over to him and I said, you know, I heard all about the bad news. I said, you're reading that newspaper? It's full of bad news. I laid the track down for him. I said, you sound like you need a little good news today. And I want you to read that. And he said, I'm a Christian. And he pulled out a picture of Jesus he had in his wallet. And I could have said, I thought about it later. I didn't say to him, but, you know, it better to have Jesus in your heart than in your wallet. You know, but I'm just saying, opportunities spring up all the time. And so we need to be prepared. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we've got to speak it and we've got to serve others. We've got to minister according to the ability, it says. That's a strength supplied by God. I'm not talking about the so-called lifestyle evangelism, but I'm saying we need to live in a manner that is befitting of the gospel that we possess. Okay? The way we live ought to align itself with the gospel we proclaim. And so, how can I do that? Many times by serving others. People around us in our neighborhoods and so forth, they're not going to care so much about all that we know about the Bible. Our Bible knowledge. We could be a fountain of Bible knowledge. You know what they care about? They watch you. They watch how you live your life. And they watch you show compassion. Do you care even about your neighbor? Are you kind? How do you respond to hurt? How do you respond to disappointment? And I guarantee you, people are watching us. And so, and we have opportunities to serve. Yes, even the unsaved. And through that, many times, win an opportunity for the gospel. Some of the early missionaries, we read about their in their biographies, how men like William Carey and Robert Moffat and Livingston and others, they went all over Asia and into Africa. And they preached the gospel, to be sure. But you know what? They went into some of these primitive areas. And they also helped the people develop their agriculture. They helped those people, with many practical things. They came and they served. They brought in medicine. They brought doctors in. I'm telling you, they were serving. And that's something that should not be far from our hearts either. So missions is a gift to you and to me. Thank God for that. Mission is a gift to others. And finally, missions is a gift even to God. You see, verse 11, the last part of the verse says that God, here's the purpose of it all, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Okay, why is the ongoing work of world missions a gift to God? Because it glorifies Him. It glorifies Him. John 15:8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." That ye bear much fruit. The Bible tells us that there is joy in the presence of the angels over even one sinner that repenteth. Well, let me tell you how that works. And the Bible doesn't say it's the angels running around rejoicing, but there's rejoicing in the presence of those angels. Who's doing the rejoicing? No one is God. God is rejoicing over a sinner that repents. Why? Well, every time one of those sinners trusts Jesus as Savior, God's divine eternal purpose in Christ's suffering on Calvary, in His death, that purpose of God is accomplished, and Christ's suffering is justified. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't die in vain? I wish so many more had trusted Christ. It's sad to think that a world is lost without Christ and on their way to hell when they could have this full and free salvation. We should be heartbroken that not everyone's saved. But thank God there are those that trust Christ. And His suffering was not in vain. Even if it was just for you. Even if it was just for me. It glorifies God. It exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion. Do you know it was after that Jesus died on the cross, and after, as Philippians chapter 2 explains to us, that how being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What does it say after that? Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Missions is a gift to God because it glorifies Him, exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, and because it's an eternal work. It says here it's forever and ever. Now, you know what? Many gifts lose their shine after just a few hours. The Christmas toys are broken within a few days. Is that right? That happens. Most gifts eventually become obsolete and even just plain old useless. I saw a cartoon not long ago. It was one of just single cartoon, single panel, the caption underneath. And here was an elderly gentleman with a walker standing on his driveway next to his open garage. And stuff was tumbling on the garage. I mean, you could not park a bicycle, much less a car in this garage. It was just tumbling all out. And so here's the gentleman, and it looks like probably his son right next to him. And the caption is the man saying, "Just think, son, one day all this can be yours." And underneath that says that child's worst nightmare, right? You know, those earthly things, all the trinkets, all the gadgets, all the technology, it's all going to fail. Missions is the only gift that lasts. I mean, you're having a part in a person receiving something that no one can take away. I'm telling you what, not even death can steal it out of the heart of those that receive it. What a wonderful gift that is. Missions is a gift. We should gladly embrace not only the fact we've received it, but to share it with others and glorify God in the process. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for your word, and thank you for this wonderful time together with this dear church family. And I just pray you bless them all in these days to come. Encourage their hearts and do a great work through them. We pray in Christ's name. Pastor, why don't you come as you conclude the service today.